Throughout man's history, he has been afraid of that which he did not understand, and rightfully so. But the thought of a nuclear electric generating plant has passed from a feeling of apprehension to one of acceptability.
This is Ozarks at Large. I'm Kyle Kellens. With me on the phone from the Pryor Center for Arkansas Oral and Visual History is Randy Dixon. Randy, explain.
Well, that was not a lost episode of the Twilight Zone, but that was Rod Serling talking about, you know, the future of nuclear power. And what that was a promotional film produced by Arkansas Power and Light at the time, APNL, to promote and introduce the state to the first nuclear power plant, which is still in existence, working in near Russellville.
All right. We're going to talk more about Arkansas Nuclear One here in a minute and the archives you have. But I just, Rod Serling, of course, famously the host of The Twilight Zone. Now, The Twilight Zone had been off the air for a few years when this was done in the early 70s. However, he was the host of another.
He had done Night Gallery.
He was doing Night Gallery lasted till 1973. So
yes.
He was, and the thing about Rod Serling, you know, he wrote Requiem for a Heavyweight. He was a heavyweight writer in his own right, with Playhouse 90 and some of those live theatrical performances.
He wrote most of his episodes.
Right.
Especially The Twilight Zone.
So he was known in writing circles as a good writer, but in popular culture, he was the voice of the weird and the odd and the macabre from Twilight Zone and Night Gallery. So I still think it was an interesting choice to have him be the narrator.
That's true. But, you know, this was produced by Cranford Johnson Robinson Woods, the largest ad agency in the state in central Arkansas. And before he died, Ron Robinson gave me a copy of this.
Mm-hmm.
And he was telling me that they wanted a big name,
mm-hmm.
And could afford it. And they wanted Rod Serling because he's kind of futuristic, you know.
True.
And he sells it pretty well. He kind of calms people about the safety of nuclear power. And from what Ron told me, this was one of his last projects that he narrated before he died.
And I should point out that in 1972 or 73, we were still 6 years away from Three Mile Island or the movie China Syndrome. So some of the biggest fears about nuclear energy perhaps didn't exist with Arkansans.
Actually, it went online December 19th of 74. And then they were immediately working on Unit 2, which went online in March of 1980. And here's a little bit from, I guess, from Rod Serling from this film to sort of talk about Nuclear One and its advantages to Arkansas.
Arkansas Nuclear One, the first nuclear-fueled electric generating station in the Southwest. It represents the state's largest single investment of private capital. When in full operation in 1975, it'll provide 1,800,000 kilowatts of power, which will almost double APNL's generating capability in the early 1970s.
So if you are a long time Arkansan, especially if you spent time driving from Northwest Arkansas or Fort Smith to Little Rock or vice versa, you know that profile. You know that shape.
I saw it every week driving back and forth. When I first, you know, moved up here, I would drive back and forth to Little Rock to see my kids. And yes, you can't miss it. You see it for miles.
Yeah, and that steam, I guess that steam that's coming out of it at the top? Yeah.
Yes, coming from the cooling tower.
Yeah, yeah. So how was this location selected?
Well, it was because of Lake Dardanelle. There was a lot of land and a lot of water available, and they needed the water for the cooling tower. And so you see the steam coming from the waters from Lake Darnell. It never touches anything nuclear or radioactive, and it's returned at a safe temperature to the lake.
Located on an 1,100-acre site on a peninsula on the north bank of Dardanelle Reservoir, near the town of London, about 5 miles from Russellville, Nuclear One is obvious proof that Arkansas Power and Light is committed to the future of Arkansas and the Middle South. The question has been raised as to why nuclear power? Plain and simple, demands for reliable, clean electric energy are increasing at a rapid pace. The problem is that fossil fuels, such as coal, natural gas, and fuel oil, which are now used to generate electricity, won't last forever. Supplies are diminishing rapidly, such as natural gas.
What happens next?
Well, I think the small town of London, which it's actually closer to London than it is to Russellville. And I think they saw dollar signs. And they wanted to annex the area, the land that Nuclear One resided, I suppose you'd say, and thought it would just do wonders, you know, for taxes and everything for their economy.
And the most that we talked to said they are in favor of it. But no matter what the outcome of tomorrow's election, APNL says it doesn't want to be annexed, and they probably will fight it in court. And also, there is a possibility that Russellville may eventually get in on the act of annexation. This is John Hudgens in London, reporting for News Scene 7.
APNL convinced the voters of London that it would be not in their best interest to annex, because prices would go up overall for energy. So after some talk and APNL taking on the expenses of some road improvements, because they were sure that they were going to have increased traffic in their area because of that. And, you know, they saw that they were going to be benefiting just from the jobs.
All right. So cost savings are promoted. And also there's part of the promotional announcement that, you know, when there's an oil embargo or OPEC is flexing its muscles, this can help out.
Yes, and Jerry Mulden, who we have interviewed at the Pryor Center, we have on our website, on our Arkansas Memories, an extensive interview with Jerry Mulden. He was hired by APNL in 65 and eventually became their president and CEO in 79. But he talked to Channel 7 News about the cost savings of nuclear power.
The cost of the fuel is much cheaper, about 2.5 mils per kilowatt hour, as compared to oil costs, which the operation of this plant displaced oil generation at about 20 mils. So there's a terrific fuel savings associated with this plant, which is being passed on to the benefit of the customers, but I don't think our present base rates are sufficient to cover the fixed costs associated with the plant.
It's Jerry Mulden selling the efficiency, the value of nuclear power generated by Arkansas Nuclear One. What else do you have for us?
Well, the boss before him, his boss was a gentleman by the name of Arch Pettit, who was the president of APNL for years and years. And he caught a little criticism from then Governor David Pryor. This was during the energy crisis, and for some reason, I think it may have been for maintenance, it was taken offline.
Fortunately, this cold snap, which has come on the weekend, if it, in fact, doesn't stay through the week, and if we don't suffer the loss of one of our large generating units, then we should be able to make the keep up with the demand on the system.
Are there other systems or other power plants that will be able to possibly compensate for this lack of output?
Yes, we are depending a lot upon getting power from the other parts of the Middle-South system, because at this time, with Unit 1 off the line, we do not have sufficient capability to carry all of our needs.
It's kind of hard to believe that we're just a few years away from the 50th anniversary of Arkansas Nuclear One going online.
I know. It's crazy.
It really
is. It's been, for the most part, very safe. There have been, you know, a couple of incidents, and they were both in 2013. One in March, a part of the rotary system, which is the generator, fell. And from what they said, that there was never any risk to the public, but a couple of, one worker was killed and four were seriously injured. And then there was a transformer fire in December of 13 where they had to take take the unit offline, but it was contained. There were no injuries. The only other notable problem was in 2015, Nuclear One earned the worst performance rating out of all the nation's nuclear power plants from the NRC, the Nuclear Regulatory Commission. But they were put on notice, and as of 2018, the plant had improved significantly, so they're no longer under the spotlight.
All right, we're going to close, I think, with more Rod Serling.
Yes. Yeah, this was the close to, you know, the big piece where they tie the bow on it.
Before we hear Rod Serling tie the bow on it, we should tell people that the archives we hear on these weekly segments come to us because they're being digitized. What's the whole process again?
Well, we have sent all the film, and it's been returned, but all the videotapes, 26,000 of them, are at a company called the Media Preserve in Pennsylvania. And they go through the process of digitizing, and we are cataloging, and we will be posting them all online in a searchable format. So you can just play around however long you want to go down the rabbit hole.
And you can go way down a rabbit hole. The last few weeks, I have put you on the spot at this part of our conversation, ask you what's next week. I'm not going to do that. I'm just going to... We'll just...
Thank you.
We'll find out what it is.
I don't know.
That's fine. We'll find out what it is next Monday on Ozarks at Large. Randy Dixon is with the David and Barbara Pryor Center for Arkansas Oral and Visual History. Randy, thank you so much. Have a great week.
Thank you. You too, Kyle.
Some things in this world must not be allowed to happen. They must be brought about. They cannot be left to chance. This project did not come about by accident. It was conceived in need, with a deep concern for all living things and those yet unborn. At the turn of the century, half the electric energy in our nation will be generated with the help of nuclear fuel. And for AP&L and Arkansas, the promise of tomorrow is becoming a reality today.
This is Ozarks at Large.